Loving Triots. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. You are tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt on the American Christian Network all across Eastern Washington in Wenatchee, Tri-Cities, Moses Lake, Spokane, Ephrata, Walla Walla, North Idaho, all over the place. Thank you guys for tuning in. It is great to have you with us. It's an honor, as always. I hope you had a blessed week. Welcome to our newest listeners on 96.5, covering the Spokane area and North Idaho, especially in the Kootenai County area. Lots of stuff going on this week, and there are some things that I'm going to be covering today because this is, well, September. September is National Preparedness Month. Did you know that? This is National Preparedness Month coming up, beginning next week. So we're going to kind of get you ready for that. We got lots going on related to that. And we'll be reiterating that all month. We've got some Ameron, American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. That's a civil defense and disaster communications network of mostly ham radio operators. Lots going on there, and of course we should, because the government has accelerated its training for grid down scenarios. Foreign governments are telling their people to prepare. We're going to talk about that in depth today. And don't forget to join us tomorrow night on RadioForRedoubt.com, our weekly podcast, where we are going to be covering interview and interrogation exploitation avoidance. There's several things that have come up recently where folks have been approached by government officials asking invasive questions, but in a non-invasive manner, trying to get information about other people to build a case about Christian patriots, about their tendencies. We're going to talk about what you can do in that kind of a situation to avoid placing someone else in harm's way or inadvertently saying something that could bring harm to someone. So we'll talk about that tomorrow night. But today, we've got a lot to get to. And this is really important for us to, well, I'm going to identify some problems. And then I'm going to identify and give you solutions to some of those problems. And that ties in with how our government has moved away from civil defense and move toward continuity of government, where the government is king and the peasants had better not even think about being self-reliant or even hinting that the government's assistance isn't necessary or required. They don't want you to go there. We're going to talk about that. So let's get to the news and commentary. The news coming to you from the APUPI, Major American Networks, and a vast array of unconventional news sources and social media. The news is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the societal and economic collapse, and my favorite part, focus on the rebuilding, the afterword. You can go to 299days.com to learn more about that 10-book series. Also, audiobooks are out. International news. There's some people to hold up in your prayers. The death toll now in the Italy earthquakes has hit 281. An estimated 2,500 people were left homeless by the most deadly earthquake in Italy. Hopes of finding more survivors from Italy's powerful earthquake faded on Friday, with the death toll rising to 281 and the rescue operation in some of the stricken areas were called off. 3 days after the quake struck the mountainous heart of the country, sniffer dogs and emergency crews continue to scour the town of Amatrice. I will look that up. But for right now, you get it as Amatrice, A-M-A-T-R-I-C-E, which was leveled in the disaster. but there was no sign of life beneath the debris. Sad. So the death toll certain to go much higher. Only a miracle can bring our friends back alive from the rubble, but we are digging because many are missing. That came from the mayor there. And speaking of that, and speaking of Self-Preparedness Month coming up in September next week, if you have not seen it, I watched a documentary by National Geographic on the Cascadia earthquake in the Cascadia subduction zone, running down basically the Cascade mountain range, but the fault line where the Juan de Fuca and, well, where those two plates are building pressure right now is about 60 miles off the coast, which of course will produce what they say a massive tsunami as high as 40, 45 feet that will hit the entire West Coast along Oregon and Washington, Northern California, and around Vancouver, BC. They say it's coming. It's a matter of time. It's not if, it's not conspiracy theory, it's not fear-mongering. This is a very real thing. So that was very enlightening. If you guys have not seen that, I strongly recommend checking that National Geographic video out. We'll see if we can get a link posted for our highlights and resources posting, which, by the way, is a reminder, we put the links to the stories and other things that we cover throughout the show in a posting at radiofreeredoubt.com called Highlights and Resources for that show. It'll have the show date on there, and that's where you'll be able to go to find these stories that we're talking about. And also, we record and upload every show from our podcast to the terrestrial radio broadcasts on Saturdays to our Podbean site. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the How to Listen, and that'll take you to the archives, and you can download or listen to them there on the sites. Man, we've grown. We've got about 3,500 on average, about 3,000 to 3,500 downloads per week, per episode. And on top of that, I was looking at the statistics. I've never really looked at them before. This is not counting all the live listening audience, you know, on the radio, because there's really no way to track that. But it's somewhere in the tens of thousands. But we get the 80,000. Last time I looked, 30-day hit, 82,000 hits on our shows. That's a lot. So thank you guys for tuning in and listening, and appreciate you guys being out there. Now let's move on. International news. Weapons of Allah. Safe houses have just been found. Huge underground mosque network, which is what intelligence, except for official, because our government doesn't want to talk about this, and then the slipstream media will not talk about this. But huge underground mosque networks. Now, this is over in Europe, but this is also happening in the United States. These mosques are designed to be, well, they're military. It's part of a military complex, which is Islam is made up of military, political, religious, and social infrastructures. It's a whole total system of dominance. Well, they found ISIS kill lists and a war room supply list. Immediately following the refugee crisis, many countries were faced with the decision to vet all refugees prior to allowing them to enter the country or allow millions to resettle wherever they wanted without vetting them at all. Well, countries like Germany are wishing they would have chosen different approaches to prior to allowing millions into their country without vetting them at all. German authorities carried out a covert operation and located what they're referring to as an arsenal of weapons of war. We're going to talk about this in segment three today, because some warnings have been coming out, dire warnings from governments, official warnings to the people to begin preparing for the worst case scenario. During the operation, they found the weapons in a safe house across the street from a radical mosque in Germany. Is there a non-radical mosque? So this is described as a radical mosque in Germany. German authorities wanted to carry out the operation sooner, but anonymous sources indicated they were shut down multiple times by their leader, Angela Merkel. So Hamas, an ISIS partner, shows how they surround mosques with civilian homes as their safe houses to store their arsenals. And this is in this article. Merkel, like Barack Obama, has been leading the leading voices arguing that Islam is peaceful and that we should accept it into our countries. Yet Europe has been flooded with terrorists, ISIS-inspired attacks, and now dozens of arsenal safe houses have been found right next door to the radical mosques. Imagine that. Imagine what's going on in these no-go zones, Muslim slums, where police and first responders will not even dare to tread. Some challenges ahead of us, don't we? All right, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
If you've been watching the news lately, then you know that Planned Parenthood and the atrocity of abortion itself have now been completely exposed by undercover video. Will Planned Parenthood be defunded? Will Roe versus Wade be overturned now that we have technology and proof of life at conception? It seems that the very soul of our nation is in the balance. If we let the selling of babies' body parts go, then we are truly lost. Let's educate our governor and our legislature that Oklahoma can stand up to Washington, D.C. and say no to abortion if we have the determination to stand firm. Visit protectlifeandmarriage.com and show support by signing the online petition today. That's protectlifeandmarriage.com. Legally, we can. Morally, we must. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church in Tulsa, and this is your Patriot Moment.
And lastly, obligation number 8. Dedicate a part of your everyday life to the bringing of these requirements of American citizenship to the attention of fellow students, fellow workers, neighbors, and friends. Is it too much to ask that we fulfill these obligations of citizenship? If we think so, we should read again the history of the founding of this nation and consider the hardships of the people who made possible our freedom. They felt that no challenge was too great if freedom was at stake. That spirit carried them on. It created for us the foundation of our great heritage. We have seen it flare up and burn brightly in every national emergency, on the battlefields and at home. The socialists, the communists, and their followers would like to see the American spirit extinguished. If each of us will rise to the occasion, if every citizen, young and old, will accept the challenge of his citizenship, then the socialist and communist and their followers will not prevail, and America will go on toward the fulfillment of her great world destiny.
Dr. Clifton L. Gaines Jr. was our instructor. This is a continuing series based on the unique political and economic system which has made America great.
Voice of the American Readout. And we are on the watchtower pointing out what's going on in the world and helping you to be prepared for it so we can inspire you, encourage you, and equip you for the challenges ahead here at the Voice of the resistance against everything that sets itself against our heritage and our values and Americanism. This segment is brought to you by Werks Holsters. That's W-E-R-K-Z. Custom-made Kydex holsters with a lifetime guarantee made right here in the American Redoubt. Don't forget to use your coupon code RFR and check them out at Werks.com. Now, let's continue on here. Oh, I want to tell you guys real quick. Through the month of September, we are going to be promoting an event that is coming up. Actually, there's several events coming up in September, but this one's going to be October 1st and 2nd. We'll just be talking about it all through September. And it is called the Old Paths Christian History Conference. October 1st and 2nd. And that's going to be at the Red Lion in Post Falls. So definitely within driving distance of everybody listening on terrestrial radio here. And for some of you, probably on our live listening audience, on live streaming, you'll want to make the trip for this as well. Pastor John Weaver, one of my favorites. He's from Georgia. He will be here. Peter Hammond, Dutch Jones, Warren Campbell, who is actually the senior pastor there at the Lordship Church out of Coeur d'Alene, Patriot operated and attended church there. So lots going on. More details to come on that. Now let's continue on with the news. We did not even get out of international news yet. This from the DC Clothesline are saying Fast and Furious was child's play compared to this. The Pentagon has lost 700,000 guns in Iraq and Afghanistan. Over half of the 1.4 million guns the U.S. shipped into Iraq and Afghanistan after 9/11 are unaccounted for in DOD's own records, a watchdog group discovered. So the U.S. government shipped over 1.4 million guns to Iraq and Afghanistan. They've lost track of about 700,000 guns, weapons, M240s, M240Gs, machine guns, M4s, all kinds of weaponry. Much of it has fallen into the hands of ISIS. And nobody's going to be held accountable for this. But you saw the barrel of your shotgun off an eighth of an inch too far beyond 18 inches, you're going to prison. They will prosecute you for things in this country and where they're held to no accountability. The things that they do, the people that are being gunned down and murdered because our government is shipping military grade weaponry around the world or selling it to cartels. And you, a law abiding, God fearing citizen, having a barrel that's too short by the arbitrary length of 18 inches, by any amount, you go to prison. Unbelievable. You guys are aware of the underground project that we produced is the, you know, going underground. If you had to go underground as a persecuted Christian, you're forced to go underground, how would you go about doing that? Working with safe houses, which more is going to be added to that. We're going to be putting together a specific safe house operations supplemental that's going to be added to that. And we sell that thumb drive for $15 at the American Readout Gear Store. It's got the Radio Free Readout logo and says Underground Project on it. And that's the whole series on going underground. And the coming underground is still being worked on. It's going to be added to that. From last summer will be added to that. But this is the kind of stuff that we follow. By the way, the funds all through the month of July went to support Voices of the Martyrs covert operations and rescuechristians.org, working with the underground church overseas, where they really truly are in the underground now. It's not in the future for them. It's right now. So there's one, if you guys can remember, Donald Osaward in your prayers, a judge in Russia, the district court of the city of Oryol, Russia, ruled in a case against Donald Osaward. He's a United States citizen who was accused of unlawfully conducting missionary activity. He was found guilty and sentenced to pay a fine of 40,000 rubles, which is like $700. Not that big of a deal. And he goes on to say, they've got a blog actually where they're documenting this whole adventure. He sent the family back to the U.S. while he's going through this. He said the problem's not the fine, which is about $700, but the fact that the court decided that Donald's exercise of his right to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to his belief, is an illegal action. He was arrested in his home, where policemen came to establish the fact that a group was meeting with him for prayer and Bible reading. Gasp! What a horrible thing. Which they say is illegal. Actually, there's probably places in the United States where that's illegal. So it sounds like the old Gestapo's back. They're making a move to come back. So anyway, hold them up in your prayers. They are appealing it. They feel like they got a pretty good case to stand on. But Christian persecution all around the world. But we're exempt because we are Americans. It'll never happen to us. Thank goodness. Right? Okay. What else we got here? Alerts USA put this out. They've got on Monday. A new call from the Islamic State for followers to replicate the Nice, France lorry attack, and specifically urges the killing of American and French infidels at every opportunity. And here's a quote from the video. So, brothers, when you have any chance to kill one of those American or French infidels or any of those who support them, take it. You can smash his head with a stone, slaughter him, run him over by car, throw him off a roof, strangle him, even poison him. The important thing is not to hesitate or give up, and let your goal be to kill this infidel or die trying. And I opt for option B, let them die trying. I was at the county fair with my family this week, and I saw several people carrying openly. And of course, Mrs. Schmidt and I always carry. We're always carrying. And I also saw several bulging t-shirts about the waistband area where you could tell where people are carrying concealed. And I thought, I love the American Redoubt. Love it. Went over to Kootenai County, the Kootenai County Fair. And there was no police call. There's no SWAT team showing up because a man was reported with a gun. Because there were several notably visible, not to mention how many were concealed. What a great, that's freedom. That's just America right there. That's Americanism. Loved it. It was announced this week that the government of France is deploying 3,000 soldiers across the country to provide reinforcement for local authorities, as well as to train all fourth-year secondary school children in the country in basic first aid, as well as how to survive a terrorist attack on their schools. This is civil defense. Our country can't get it. I can't wait to get to this in the third segment. In addition, approximately 500 school administrators will be trained every year at the National Gendarme Police Training Center to manage crisis centers and act as liaisons with security officials. Of course, no discussion of arming the teachers, of course. That's for the professionals, professional gun carriers. You're a professional teacher, not a professional gun carrier. Now, here's something that's really important. Another prayer request. There is a rancher north of here, Len McIrvin. He is a God-fearing patriot through and through. His whole family is. And they raise cattle. There's a rancher, this rancher, Len McIrvin, needs your prayers. His family faces death threats now after a misinformation, dare I say, left-wing hit piece by the environmental Gestapo in the Seattle Times, claiming that the sheriff moved his cattle intentionally to where a den of wolves are located so that it would increase the kill ratio on his cattle so he could justify having the wolves killed. So the environmental Gestapo is absolutely spinning out and going through the roof, calling for death threats against this family. Now the Sheriff's Department and the Washington State Patrol are providing security, and they're saying, and I talked to a pastor and another community official, and this is all coming from a undisclosed source, an official in a position that I promised I would maintain his anonymity, but he said, please get this information out and ask for prayers for this family. After a couple of very trusted people that I look up to and admire and trust spoke directly with the rancher and the family, said there, the family is saying this whole story is a fabricated lie. It's misinformation. It's very misleading. This is the truth. They moved their cattle to this area because of a permit requirement that they have with the U.S. Forest Service. They are required to move their cattle to this other parcel of land, which they complied with based on their agreement. This is public land that's under lease with the Forest Service, and they have an agreement, and you must occupy this land from this, I don't know what the details are. But they were required to do it according to this Forest Service agreement. The family had no idea there was an active wolf den at that location. Oh, yeah, right. I'm sure they didn't. Guys, really? Is it possible that the family might not know that there was an actual den on this piece of property, that they have this agreement, this permit agreement requirement to move your cattle over there, that parcel over there? Is it possible that they may not have known there was a wolf den there? Absolutely. And when you're talking about people that are known to have integrity, that are God-fearing people, fully possess integrity and honesty, hard work, the ethic that the people at the Seattle Times and the environmentalists won't understand. So this is, I got the piece right here, Seattle Times. For the second time in 4 years, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife exterminated a wolf pack to protect Len McIrvin's cattle. Good. This time, a Washington State University researcher says, see, they're angry because the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is exterminating the wolf packs that are destroying his cattle, as they should. Actually, the McIrvins should be able to go out there and just lay waste to any of the wolves that they find near their herds of cattle. But they're saying this livestock operator elected to put his livestock directly on top of their den site. We have pictures of cows swamping it. I just want people to know. Wow, thanks. What a great, honorable whistleblower you are. Putting out misinformation. This is Wigless. This is the guy's name. He said in an interview just this week. McIrvin of the Diamond M Ranch near the Canadian border, north of Kettle Falls, Stevens County, in northern Washington, northeast Washington, did not return calls for comment. Good. Why would he? Why would he talk to you? Because you're just going to spin it. You've got your agenda. So, anyway, like I said, keep these people in your prayers. I'm going to put in a call to Steve McLaughlin. He's the leading candidate for the lands commissioner. And I don't think he's going to let this kind of stuff just sit. Got to get that guy in. Got to change the management and send a strong message to this left-leaning so-called media, the stories they write. Hold them accountable. We'll be right back. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times Have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is Radio Free Readout, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Going into segment three, the final stretch on the backside, and segment three is brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com. Do you need to get away? If you need a place just to get away for a weekend or during a weekday, when everybody else is at work, go to RiverfrontSuites.com. Beautiful. St. Mary's, Idaho, or outside the town of St. Mary's on the St. Joe. So not even 50 yards from the river dock, right there. So a beautiful little place. Check them out, riverfrontsuites.com, and support a patriot-owned business. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I've been, for those of you that are Chris Ann Hall fans, maybe you didn't catch it, but I've been filling in for her this week. And that's a lot of fun. Actually pre-recorded those. I'll probably share some of those with you guys. You don't get a chance to get over there and listen to those. I have some events coming up that's going to make it very difficult for me to be able to do a live show. So I might air those for you guys and share those with you because I can, because I made them. And they're Chris Ann Hall shows. But anyway, yeah, that'd be fun to share with you guys. We're also on Facebook. .com/Radio Free Readout, and our Amron site is over there as well. Now, September, National Preparedness Month, according to FEMA. There's an article here that's right in line because this is exactly what I was going to cover this week. And she took some of these things. She's my twin. She took some of these words right out of my mouth. There's some other things, too, that I want to cover that's not in this article. But I want to take you to this article because everything that I wanted to cover is already in this article. So she did all the work for me. So thanks, Daisy. Appreciate it. She does a great job. Daisy Luther is a single mom who lives. This is her bio. She lives in a small village in the mountains of Northern California. And, of course, for you guys who know better, you go, oh, California. Oh, no. This is actually the state of Jefferson. We're talking Patriot territory at the southern part of Oregon, northern part of California, right there in that area. That's the state of Jefferson, where she homeschools her youngest daughter, Bravo. Her daughter's name isn't Bravo. I'm saying Bravo. And raises veggies, chickens, and motley assortment of dogs and cats. She's a best-selling author who has written several books, including The Organic Canner, The Pantry Primer, A Prepper's Guide to the Whole Food, to Whole Food on a Half-Price Budget, and a bunch more. She's got a blog that's very popular. She does a good job. So she wrote this story, and I hadn't even seen it yet. A listener sent it to me. Hey, you got to see, check this out. So here we go. Just days after the German government advised citizens to stock up on food and water, the Czech government has followed suit. Hello, hello, can you hear me now? Something is clearly hurtling down the pipe. Czech news channel CT24 broadcast a message from the government telling citizens to prepare for the worst. Czech media sources are reporting that in the event of a national crisis, the food needs of the country will not be met. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? They've never really recovered from the failed communist government there, and the Czech Republic is already beset by food shortages. And there's this story Louisiana officials demand that self-reliant locals stop surviving the flood without their permission. This is the story that I'm actually leading into. And this is a pattern. This is not an isolated incident. And what we've seen also is another pattern, and that is the ineptitude, the behemoth that our government is, that it's huge, it's cumbersome, it's unorganized, as organized as it is, and for the unlimited resources that they have, their responses to one after another disaster are inadequate at best and asinine in some ways with the knee-jerk policies that these people come up with. Now they are telling the self-reliant locals to stop surviving the flood without permission. That's the title of this. Around the world, governments have recently been issuing an unsettling call for their citizens to become more self-reliant. That's in America, we had what was called civil defense. Just this week, the governments of both Germany and Czechoslovakia, which is actually not Czech, it's the Czech Republic, and then there's Slovakia, but we're getting technical there. They warn that people should be prepared for the worst case possible scenario. Is our government telling us that? The worst case? No. Everything in America is lollipops and unicorns and cotton candy and wonderful. You might need a few days of food to kind of help hold you over until help can arrive, because we are going to be the ones that are going to be rescuing you, providing for you anyway. But here in the United States, just the opposite's happening. Our government seems to have an unquenchable thirst for cracking down on those who take responsibility for themselves. There's an abundance of evidence of this in Louisiana. Again, see, you look at Hurricane Katrina and you think, look, they made a lot of mistakes. That was a monumental disaster. They probably made a lot of adjustments. They've done their after-action reviews and analysis and fixed things. Mm-mm. Nope. The southern state has been hit with the worst flooding in over 500 years. While the final numbers won't be known for some time, Governor John Bel Edwards' office estimated 60,000-plus houses were damaged, 30,000 people rescued. Other people escaped on their own. FEMA says almost 110,000 people or households have applied for housing help, and 25,000 National Flood Insurance Program claims have been filed. They're saying it's the biggest natural disaster, the worst natural disaster since Hurricane Sandy in 2012. This massive disaster was all but ignored by the mainstream media since it didn't fit the current agenda of divisiveness and racial tension. So what did the folks of Louisiana do? They rolled up their sleeves and they took care of business. First, the Cajun Navy. This is great. It reminds, these are boaters. It kind of reminds me of the maritime version of AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Well, first, the Cajun Navy, a loosely organized group of local fishers, boaters, hunters, and guides, took it upon themselves to being rescuing people trapped by the sudden flood. Initially, the local sheriff's department was reluctant to accept the assistance, but as they became quickly overwhelmed, they realized that they were disregarding a valuable asset. Initially, authorities in Livingston Parish didn't want private citizens headed into the water, worried that amateur rescuers might end up in trouble themselves. Said Leighton Ricks, the parish president. But as the calls from stranded residents continued to mount, at one point, Livingston officials said they were about 150 calls behind. But if you're able to help, but you're an amateur, you're not a trained professional, you just keep that valuable resource tied up to the dock because we don't want anybody getting hurt. Those people that are needing help, that are stranded and getting hurt, and you want them to not help. So anyway, then they finally relented, let them in. Now, locals who were not affected by the flood began cooking and donating food. which is the right thing to do, right? Others help flood victims to begin gutting their homes so they could start to rebuild, because mold sets in immediately. We've got Ameren operators from the Texas floods from, 2 months ago that are still dealing with the mold problem. You have to get that drywall and insulation ripped out of there immediately because the mold starts. This community in the Bayou pulled together to show the world that a real emergency response begins at home, undertaken by the very people who were affected. They didn't wait around bemoaning the lack of FEMA, Red Cross, and government aid. They got to work. They opened up their own shelters in local businesses that were not affected. They distributed immediate relief to those who were displaced. They performed their own rescues, organized the response, and used local media to coordinate their efforts. They made just about everyone in America who heard about their efforts feel a wave of pride. In fact, they were so effective at their own free market local disaster relief that they rendered the government's assistance all but unnecessary. That's where the problems are going to start. And that's when the government said, oh no, we can't have that. Of course, the government doesn't want citizens to realize that they're perfectly capable of rescuing themselves. If people realize that they can perform independently and that it is much better than performing with the structures of governmental regulations, they will be a heck of a lot harder to control. So they stepped in and uttered the scariest words ever. We are from the government and we are here to help. Like a horde of modern-day carpetbaggers, they began helping by forcing people who were struggling to rebuild to purchase permits. That's right. They forced people to ask permission for the right to repair their own property. Considering the daunting expense of rebuilding in and of itself, those state permission slips may make construction costs prohibitive for some, but while others, given the strict regulations pertaining to the floodplain and more, may not be allowed to rebuild on their property at all. Justin Dupuy, building official for Baton Rouge, said, "We haven't suspended any of our requirements for permitting. Before they start making any repairs, they just need to call in and check with us to see what they need." No, they need to check in and call. You're looking out for them. Just call us before you start any work and check in with us to see what you need. No, it's so they can map it out so they can send an inspector out there to fine you for not having a permit or red flag your project because you haven't had it inspected yet. And then they're going to fine you for that. So these people who are about to undertake a repair have no idea what they need unless they ask the government. Good question. So that's not the worst of it. They also decided to charge fees to the Cajun Navy, this group of volunteer boaters, before they were allowed to continue rescuing people. They were charged a fee to go rescue people. Daisy Luther's subtitle to her blog is, "I couldn't make this stuff up." You can't make this stuff up. This is crazy. No good deed goes unpunished. The Libertarian Republic reported, "The Cajun Navy is a group of volunteers that operates at its own expense to rescue people trapped in flooded areas in Louisiana. They use their own boats, they risk their lives, and now that people have noticed that they are far more effective than government rescue efforts, there are plans to require them to pay a fee before they're allowed to do any good. Don't worry, it's just a small fee," legislators explain, "maybe only $50. That would be worth it to put authority behind the Cajun Navy, wouldn't it?" What authority do you need? The only authority that you need is the law of nature and nature's God. When you see a fellow man in distress, you help them. I can imagine what Jesus, when he said, okay, there was a man who was badly beaten by robbers and he was left on the side of the road. A good Samaritan came by and picked the guy up, took him to an inn. He was immediately arrested by the Sanhedrin because he didn't have a permit. That would have just ended the whole story right there. Now, when the Cajun Navy members said no thanks to the government who wanted to train them to do what the government wasn't even able or willing to do, they were treated like criminals. That's right. The government deployed the police to prevent those good Samaritans that we all wish now were our own neighbors from continuing with their efforts. So the police are out there not helping to rescue people in distress. They're out there to find and cite those who are helping without a permit. This is the lunacy that we've reached. I'm not going to say this is the pinnacle because it's going to get way weirder in the future. The Louisiana State Senator Jonathan Perry is he's the engineer of the licensing requirements. Great. Thanks, Senator Jonathan Perry. Perry said that if members of the Cajun Navy continue on without his legislation, the official government authority behind you, they will be stopped by law enforcement officials from rescuing residents past police barricades. What, you really want to look like a jerk? I mean, we're talking about in the court of public opinion, just under current state law, citizens who cross police perimeters are breaking the law and could face punishment. You can be assured he's doing this for the Cajun Navy guys' own good. He's trying to empower them. You need that government authority behind you. Just pay this fee. Now, first, you were untrained amateurs. You don't have the training that the professionals have. So that's why you can't go in. But now we're overwhelmed. There's not enough resources to help all the people needing help. So now I guess you can go in if you pay a fee. Then you'll be one of the professionals. Just pay a fee. That must also be what the Red Cross is doing when they make it more difficult for good-hearted locals to help. Oh, the Red Cross. Get me started. I've been a proponent and an advocate of the Red Cross for a long time. But you know what? This latest thing, my mind's changed. Here is from Beth Yancey Houghton, a local woman who volunteered. She made this following post on Facebook. So as we are headed back from home, from the River Center in Baton Rouge, volunteering our nursing services, Don and I have come to the conclusion that neither of us will ever volunteer or donate to the Red Cross. The Red Cross basically takes us over to the shelters and starts refusing clothes, donations, and various other volunteer services unless they are previously contracted. So what does that mean? Well, 60 boxes of donuts were discarded this morning because the delivery vendor was not in contract with the Red Cross. Hot meals were refused because the entity providing it wasn't contracted. And medical supplies, including medications, were trashed for the same reason. Clothes that were donated need to be left on the street unless they were furnished by the Red Cross. As of tomorrow, the shelter we were at will be completely overtaken by the Red Cross, other than the medical area, because they couldn't have the actual room since the Louisiana State University has a contract with the state to provide medical care. It's sad when the military police were helping to protect the medical areas from the Red Cross when there are so many other issues at hand. So the Red Cross wanted to take over the medical part too. But nope, can't. By state law, they have a contract that the Louisiana State University must provide the medical in a disaster response. Now, the Red Cross vehemently denies the claims, except this. Nancy Malone, a spokeswoman for the American Red Cross, says there's misinformation being spread around. They always say that. When the narrative isn't going their way, it's misinformation being spread around. And people are confusing the Red Cross with their partner organizations. She also said there are liabilities to feeding people food that doesn't come from certified vendors, which is why some offers to cook hot meals have been turned away. So you're not a certified vendor. So they admit that hot cooked meals have been turned away. But she categorically rejected allegations that the Red Cross had thrown away any donations. If you came today and said you have 5,000 meals to offer, well, we already have food delivered today. Let's find a way to arrange you to help someone else or come back another day. Which, of course, then it's going to have to be thrown out because it's sat for 24 hours. It has to be about coordination. We are held accountable to state regulations. This food has to come from a certified kitchen. Well, perhaps technically they didn't throw food away, but they turned it away even though they didn't have enough meals from certified kitchens to feed everyone. Now, while governments in Europe are actually requesting that their citizens be prepared for the future, the idea of self-sufficiency scares the heck out of the United States government. It's important to note that their need to make us dependent isn't only restricted to the aftermath of a disaster. They seem to do everything they can to hobble those of us even attempt to become a little bit more self-reliant. Here's some examples. Most burning stoves become illegal. There's an article. Here's another article. In some states, collecting rainwater, illegal. Go to jail for that. There's people that have gone to jail for collecting rainwater because the environmental Gestapo has got somebody convinced that much water is going to harm the earth, taking it from everyone else or whatever their reasoning is. Living off-grid is illegal in some states. It's another article covering this. In some areas, you can't even camp on your own land. That's another article. Unfortunately, I could go on and on. Daisy writes, here in the U.S., we're strongly encouraged to rely on the system. In the event of a national emergency, our government seems to prefer people to line up and get government-issued MREs rather than to pull something out of their own pantry or share with their neighbors and calmly go about their business. So, the Cajun people didn't wait for rescue. They rescued themselves. They proved that they had the wherewithal to take care of the business at hand without daddy government or nanny government swooping in to save the day. In fact, the only thing the government did for Louisiana was to make their lives more difficult by forcing beleaguered residents to get permission and pay a fee to go about the business of rescuing and rebuilding. Now, one thing they didn't try to do, though, is take everybody's guns like they did in Katrina. That, I don't think, would go over very well. So, do we have a problem? Let's go back to the Red Cross. Todd Starnes ran a piece titled, "Does Red Cross Have a Problem with Christians?" I've heard this story from people out there. We've got Amron operators that did deploy with Ares Races to help with communication support where communications were down. I'm looking forward to their debriefs on this. But here's another story that I've heard before, and this just confirms it, adds credibility. A well-known Southern Baptist pastor just sent me a message about his dealings with the American Red Cross. Quote, several years ago, we allowed the Red Cross to use our church facilities during flooding. 18 families stayed in our recreation facilities. Once Red Cross was in place, we were off limits to them and instructed not to share Christ. They had a spiritual advisor on the grounds that will handle any spiritual needs. He writes, she was creepy. I'll bet. I know the type. I can picture it. He says, I lost faith in Red Cross immediately. This is why you should support organizations like Samaritan's Purse and Southern Baptist Disaster Relief instead of the Red Cross. There is, actually, I got this story here. Here's another one. A law enforcement officer said he was asked to leave a Red Cross shelter in Lafayette, Louisiana, after he prayed with several flood victims. Clay Higgins, a reserve city marshal and a local legend, dropped by after work to minister to evacuees at the Hayman Performing Arts Center on August 19th. He said, I was not proselytizing. I was there to thank volunteers and offer prayers and encouragement. Higgins, who is also running for Congress, I hope you win. Pray for him to win. He was dressed in uniform, in a police uniform, and was holding a Bible. At some point during the visit, a volunteer approached Higgins and mentioned there was a problem. He said, the Red Cross had an issue with me being there. So I asked him what the problem was. And he looked down at my Bible and he gestured and said, they have a problem with that. Higgins said he was escorted to a Red Cross supervisor who asked him to leave. I was told that the Red Cross does not allow spiritual counseling in their shelters, he said. The supervisor told me the Red Cross is not a religious-based organization and they don't allow religious interaction with the residents. Wow. the separation of victims and God clause. That's got to be in our founding document somewhere, right? If you're not a religious-based organization, why do you have a red cross? And why in the Middle East, because the cross is offensive to them, you have the red crescent? You know what? If you're going to do that, take the cross off. Make it a dot. How about a red dot? The red dot is setting up a shelter. You don't get to use cross anymore. There's a reason why there is a red cross. I don't have time to get into it. I was going to pull this up and go into the red cross history. So they have deliberately cut God out of this red cross organization. You don't get to use the red cross anymore. Now, if I was a malicious kind of person, I would say it's time to start painting red dots over the crosses, make it into a big giant dot because they don't get to be crossed anymore. Take spray paint. I'm not saying to do this. I'm saying if I was a vindictive person, I would say we should probably all get red spray. Everywhere you find red cross, make it a dot. Anyway, there's more. There's a lot more. Get prepared. Get prepared, folks. We'll talk more about a little bit more about this tomorrow night and more. Join us at 8 p.m. RadioFreeReadout.com. God bless.